This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. Documentaries about mass political killings almost always follow the same basic formula. Archival footage, some talking heads, harrowing testimony from victims, the perpetrators either denying or apologizing for the evil they've done. But the new documentary, The Act of Killing, does without all of those conventions. It's about Indonesia's anti-communist purge in the 1960s, which probably killed hundreds of thousands of people. And it's told entirely from the perspective of its unpunished, unrepentant perpetrators. It's American filmmaker Joshua Oppenheimer asked death squad leaders to recreate their tortures and murders for the camera. The result is a surreal and disturbing film within a film. Errol Morris and Werner Herzog are executive producers of the movie, and Herzog calls The Act of Killing, quote, unprecedented in the history of cinema, which I think is absolutely right. It is astonishing and brilliant, and I am very pleased to have Joshua Oppenheimer with me today. Welcome to Studio 360.
Thank you so much.
You began intending to make a more conventional film, right? And talking to the survivors and the children of the people who were killed and so on.
I'm not sure I know how to make a more conventional film, but the film would have had a more conventional point of view in the sense that we would have seen the killings, heard about the killings through the eyes of the survivors. But every time I would film with the survivors, we would be stopped. The military would come and stop us. They would take our equipment. They would arrest us. They would detain us. And it was very difficult to get anything done. And so we went back to the Indonesian human rights community with the survivors with whom I was working, said, is it a good idea to make this film? Can we make this film? Is it too soon? Is it too sensitive? Is it too dangerous? Everybody said, no, you're onto something extremely important. We need a film that exposes for Indonesians themselves the nature of this regime, the kind of normality built atop a mass grave, so that Indonesians themselves can stop denying what they already know to be the case, essentially creating the space for Indonesians themselves to start talking about what really happened and the consequences of that for the present.
Because there have been no reconciliation commissions as in, for instance, South Africa.
Oh, exactly, because the men who've done it are still in power.
Well, and so once you decided talking to the survivors is proving impossible, had you already talked to these now elderly perpetrators and already won their confidence?
When I was working with the survivors, they would occasionally send me on these sort of missions to film, meet perpetrators who they thought would talk to me, who they suspected had killed their relatives. So I was sent on these quite painful missions. And when I would meet these perpetrators, they would boast invariably.
Really?
Yeah, I would walk.
So that wasn't just the few you put in the film. This was their standard MO.
Exactly. And then once it was impossible to continue with the survivors, too difficult, too dangerous, then one of the main survivors with whom I was working said, Josh, continue to film the perpetrators. They will boast like the ones you've already met. They will appear to be proud, as though intuiting that they may not really be proud. And in their boasting, the audience will see exactly why we're so afraid and the nature of this regime. So from that point on, I filmed every perpetrator I could find across the region. And they were all boastful. They were all eager to tell me what they've done. And not just that, they would say, I guess you want to see where I did it. And they would take me to the places where they killed, show me how they'd gone about it, launch into these spontaneous demonstrations.
Which must have been amazing when it first happened. Like, I can't believe I'm getting this.
Yeah, at first it was totally shocking, and I felt as though I'd been entrusted by the survivors to gather information of world historical importance. We're talking about the deaths of tens of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands of people in one province, and no one had ever documented it before.
And at what point did you come up with this idea of them reenacting in this Hollywood-y way the various scenes of their brutality and killings?
Well, before I met the main character, Anwar, when I was still working my way across the countryside, I was already saying to people very openly, look, you've participated in one of the biggest killings in human history. Your whole society's based on it. Your lives are shaped by it. You want to show me what you've done in these simple demonstrations. Show me what you've done in whatever way you wish. I will film the process, film the demonstrations to try and understand what this means to you and your society. So I was quite open. The method was very much we would shoot a scene, screen it for Anwar and his friends, and they would think about what to shoot next. So you can liken the method to a man painting his own portrait, and he paints a little, steps back from the canvas, looks, paints a little more. And I think maybe the core drama of the film comes when he realizes that he can't make a portrait of himself which is at once beautiful and true.
Well, and it makes for this one of the many jaw-dropping moments in this film of – because it's harrowing to think this is a man who killed people in just this way. Now we're reenacting it in this kind of over-the-top Hollywood-looking way. It's goofy as well as chilling.
I think humor plays a really important role in the film. It's not a – I mean, for some people it's utterly painful, and I think in the end it's painful, but it is a funny film.
And the audience, after a while – frees itself to laugh, sort of.
And I think there's two kinds of humor in the film. Of course, there's these moments of surreal absurdity where you just see a whole regime being unmasked in the most shameless way, and it is absurd and funny, like a scene where Anwar envisions his redemption in heaven, and there waiting for him are his victims with a medal who thank him for killing them and sending them to heaven.
Atas eksekusi yang saudara lakukan terhadap diri saya. Dan mengantarkan saya ke dalam surga. Untuk itu,
which is amazing. Now, was that his idea?
That was his idea, and it was a direct response to him having played a victim in a previous scene and felt a kind of trauma.
Well, and this regular screening of essentially not the dailies, but of finished scenes to this guy, this former killer, is extraordinary to watch him and his little grandchildren watching it. But it also, in a journalistic way, as an audience member, I'm thinking the filmmakers didn't lie or trick anybody. He's fully aware of what this film is.
Yeah, that's right. You know, every reenactment, every dramatization implied a denial of the moral meaning of what he had done. I mean, you can't make a cowboy scene about hundreds of people being killed and not be in denial of the true meaning of that action. And so to make the scene was a kind of insistence on that denial. And then I would screen the material back wondering if Anwar might recognize some of the things of which he was in denial in the kind of mirror of the movie. And each time, I think he would, but he wouldn't have yet the courage to know to express that, and he would displace it into the next scene. And so it wasn't a surprise, ultimately, in hindsight, it's not surprising, that the fiction scenes themselves, which I saw as these kind of allegories for impunity, ultimately became this kind of prism through which he would somehow confront his broken self.
And he seems finally in one particular scene to do that in a very – he gets emotional way. Having spent so much time with him going through this process, did you feel this is real? He's not playing me in some way?
Yeah, I knew at the very end it's real. But there's a moment just before it becomes real where he is really playing, where he says he I think in desperation when he's finally forced to confront what he's done, he offers this kind of generic confession where he says, now I feel what my victims feel, don't I? And of course, if I said yes then, it would reassure him that what his victims went through was no worse than being in a movie. And I am very grateful that at that moment there was nothing technical like lighting or sound to distract me, and I could just be in my heart and listen to him and be present and say, no, of course you're not feeling what your victims felt, because what they went through was so much, much, much worse.
Which is about the only time you speak in the film at length, and has all the more power for it.
And I think in that moment, somehow the bottom drops out for him, and he's forced to gaze into the abyss, the unbridgeable abyss between all the unimaginable horror that he's put people through and all the stories he's told himself, all the lies that he and the whole regime has told itself to run away from what they've done. It's interesting, you asked this question or you mentioned about Anwar seeing the film, knowing about the film. His reaction to the finished film was very interesting. Of course, he knew what was in it, so he knew it would be a painful experience to watch. For quite a while, he would say, I would say it's nearly finished, I want to show it to you because it's going to come out soon. He would say, I'm not ready to see it because maybe later, maybe later. Finally, I said to him, look, it's out. I have to tell you what's in it. You haven't wanted to see it. Then he found himself at the center of a very big news story in Indonesia. The film has made an enormous impact there. And he said, I need to see the film. So by then it was unsafe. I could no longer go to Indonesia safely. I could probably get in, but would never get out again. I arranged for him to go to a place where there'd be good internet connection. I didn't know if I could bring him out of the country because he was now in the news as a mass killer. So we brought him to a place where I could be with him through the screening by Skype. And we sat together. He could talk to me throughout the screening. And at the end of the screening, he sat in this kind of stunned silence for a long time, tearful. Then he said, this film shows what it's like to be me. And it's an honest film. And I'm glad I was able to be so honest. And I will stand by the film. And it was a strange thing to say, except if you remember that he may come under real pressure to denounce the film.
Has it been seen widely in Indonesia, been released?
On the 10th of December, International Human Rights Day last year, they held 50 screenings in 30 cities, and that's grown exponentially since then. So the screenings range in size from 30 to 600 people. By the 1st of April, there had been 500 screenings in 95 cities, and every week there's more than the previous week. But perhaps most gratifying has been the Indonesian news media. So, for example, Indonesia's leading news magazine, Tempo, published a special double edition about the film in which they gathered 75 pages of boastful testimony from killers all around the country, showing that basically the act of killing is a repeatable experiment, that there's tens of thousands of Anwars around the country.
Really? So this that's a happy ending, because it seems as though this film has sort of unlocked the silence.
Yeah, I think the film, it's not the only thing to be sure, but it has helped catalyze a sea change in how Indonesians talk about their past. It's like the child from the emperor's new clothes, pointing at the king and saying, look, the king is naked. And everybody knew it, but was too afraid to say it. And now that it's been said so emotionally by the perpetrators themselves, there's no going back. And Indonesians, therefore, are talking for the first time openly and without fear to a degree, because the film has opened the way. And it's certainly the best part of completing the film.
And yet, as I've said from the beginning, it is this bizarre work of art. It is not at all the medicinal, earnest kind of documentary that listeners may think, yeah, I don't want to see that. It's in its powerful, strange, disturbing way, it's incredibly entertaining.
I think, in fact, that's why it's having the effect that it's having. You know, I talked about humor earlier. There's I think when Indonesians see these moments which we find absurd, crazy. For them, it's the unmasking of the whole regime. So it's both terribly moving, but also cathartic and joyful, because finally the regime is showing its true rotten logic.
Well, I encourage everyone to go see it. Joshua Oppenheimer, thank you very much.
It was a great conversation. Thank you.
The Act of Killing is playing in theaters across the country. You can find out exactly where at studio360.org.